Dr. Anton Marburg, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Good, thanks, and you?
So I know you think that you're here to talk about pneumonia, so we're going to do that first. Most of our listeners know that we've sort of got you in on the pretext of talking about pneumonia, but we're going to sneak some COVID questions in as well. Today is World Pneumonia Day. Is pneumonia still such a problem? I mean, tell us where we were, I don't know, 50, 70 years ago in terms of pneumonia versus where we are today.
So, yeah, I think pneumonia still is a very big problem. It's probably one of the biggest infectious killers of adults and children, and it claimed about 2.5 million lives in 2019. If we go back a few years to 2016, pneumonia was the second most prevalent killer of children under the age of 5, together with influenza in South Africa.
Wow.
If we go back 50 years ago, the numbers are staggering. I mean, the advances in the last 10 to 20 years have been dramatic with pneumonia.
What is the standard treatment for pneumonia today?
So that depends on how sick you are, what your age is, what your comorbidities are. But the goal of the treatment is actually to cure the infection and prevent complications. It consists of supportive care, oxygen if required, oral rehydration therapy, intravenous fluids. Antibiotics treat many forms of pneumonia, if it's bacterial, antifungals, if it's fungal, antivirals, if it's a viral infections. Corticosteroids are used in severe infections of pneumonia, as well as, most importantly, vaccines, which I'm sure we'll get to just now, and physiotherapy for the treatment of people with pneumonia.
We often hear talk about different types of pneumonia, bronchial pneumonia. Just take us through that. What are the different broad types?
So I think before we discuss the actual types, you've got to say what pneumonia actually is. And everyone knows the term loosely, but it's actually an infection. It's a respiratory disease which affects your lungs, where the lungs, the alveoli, which are the air filled sacs of the lungs, are filled with pus and fluid, which causes difficulty in breathing due to limited intake of oxygen into your lungs. And that could be caused by viruses. We know now the COVID-19 virus, influenza, bacterias, fungi, and these spread through airborne droplets from coughing or sneezing. And if you look at some of the most common causes, for example, in children, you get sort of bacteria, sort of streptococcal pneumonias, Haemophilus influenza, RSV, which is respiratory syncytial virus, and pneumocystis jirovecii. So there's many types of viruses, bacteria, and fungi that can actually affect the lung.
What's bronchial pneumonia?
So that's including the bronchi in the lungs. Now, there's a loose term for bronchi. Some people say I've got only one of my lungs are infected with pneumonia. I've got double pneumonia. And those terms are actually incorrect. You've either got pneumonia or you don't. It's like saying I've got a touch of TB.
Right. It's like being pregnant. You either are or you're not.
Yeah, I'm kind of pregnant, yeah.
Right. So those terms are actually completely irrelevant, whether you've got it in one lung,
irrelevant.
Two lungs, where it is.
You can say someone's got a multi-lobe pneumonia, which means there's more than one lobe of the lung affected, and that discusses the severity of the disease of the pneumonia.
But there's viral and bacterial?
Viral pneumonia, such as now, which you get with COVID-19, and that consists of a different type of treatment. There's bacterial pneumonia, which you can do with different types of antibiotics, and there's fungal pneumonia, which people also don't know about.
Yeah, I certainly, as a seasoned hypochondriac, I feel like I should have known that.
I've got that something new to add to your armamentarium of diseases.
Well, speaking of which, I actually am a little congested this morning. Lindy's noticed that as well. How do we know it's not pneumonia or COVID, God forbid?
Well, we can do a teleconference later and check that out.
Yeah, I think we might have to do that.
What about me?
What about you?
In studio with you, locked up.
Yeah. I wouldn't say locked up. I think that might create the wrong impression, Liz.
It feels like that when we're talking COVID. And,
and I'll say that I'm a little nasal this morning. Yeah, it could be. Can we just talk about vaccines? And this is going to be a very clever way that I'm going to segue onto COVID. But I know that there are pneumonia vaccines. What are they? Who do you recommend gets them? Should we all get one? How does this work?
Yeah, so there's a pneumococcal vaccine. There's actually two types of pneumococcal vaccines, and they advocate for children under the age of 2 and adults over the age of 65. There's a pneumococcal conjugate vaccine, which is known as Prevnar 13, and there's a pneumococcal polysaccharide vaccine, which is known as the Pneumovax 23. Now, the Pneumovax 23 is not indicated for children under the age of 2, whereas Prevnar 13 is. It should be given to people who are asthmatic, people who have got comorbidities, chronic medical conditions such as diabetes, COPD, asthma, people who smoke are aged 19 to 64 who smoke should be given the pneumococcal vaccine. So it is a well-documented vaccine, is a well-tolerated vaccine, and should be given every 5 years or so, depending on your age and depending on your comorbidities.
So, but do you recommend that everybody gets it, or only those that you've mentioned with comorbidities, asthma, smokers,
etc.? Smokers, that type of subset of people.
With COVID this year, and people obviously being more careful, you know, you've mentioned that pneumonia is often spread in a similar way, in fact, to COVID. Have you, in your practice, seen a reduced number? Well, through the winter, in any event, where I would imagine that you have higher cases, instances. Have you seen lower numbers?
So due to stringent hand washing, due to social distancing, due to the lockdown, we've definitely seen a dramatic reduction of influenza A, influenza B, the RSV, all of those type of viruses that does and do cause pneumonia. But we do know that COVID-19 causes severe pneumonia. We've seen a high insurge of those types of patients in hospital.
How does one know if you've got flu and you're home and you're not feeling well, when should you be concerned and maybe go to check it out if you suspect that you might be more ill, perhaps getting pneumonia or on your way? What are the signs that people should look for?
So it's very similar to that of influenza, very similar to that of COVID-19. It's fever, cough, shortness of breath, unable to maintain saturation of oxygen, chest pain whilst coughing, severe fatigue associated with all of these things. You know when you're sick, you become diaphoretic, you start sweating, you're unable to speak in full sentences, and you definitely will need medical assistance regarding that.
Right, and that's when you would go and check it out. All right, moving seamlessly on to COVID, Cyril Ramaphosa spoke last night. Your overall impression of what he had to say to the nation?
Look, I think I was very impressed with the way he spoke last night. I was holding my breath that he wouldn't go up on the lockdown and take us to level 2 or level 3. So thank God he didn't do that. He gave a good sort of synopsis of what's going on. And he said we need to be very careful, especially in areas like the Eastern Cape. People can't drop their guard. You know, there's too much at stake for us to drop the guard. And you just have to look all over the world at how it's escalating all over the world. In countries like America, over 100,000 cases a day. The deaths are spiraling. The whole of Europe, it's all going out of sync. And I think he spoke very well explaining to people where we're at and what's happening down the line with us.
So therefore, what is your thoughts about the fact that he's basically removed the whole red country story? It means that everybody from anywhere.
I don't think he had a choice at this point because of the fact that the numbers are so much lower. But what I do think he was saying is that, yes, we are removing all of these restrictions from that point, but you still got to be careful. Because if you look anywhere in the world, all over the world, they removed their restrictions and then they all went into their second wave and second surge. He says, carry on wearing your masks. Carry on washing your hands. We can prevent a massive second surge if we just follow the rules.
And later on this month, I definitely want to invite you back to talk about holidays and to talk about how to plan for it, what you should take with you, the types of things to do. Lindy was talking earlier about Christmas in her family being a massive celebration. Luckily, her father's more neurotic than I am. He takes his kids' temperatures when they walk through the door. And then he does it again, what, about 2 hours later,
Lindy? No, just to make sure.
Just to make sure. He then rechecks an hour or two later, sends them downstairs to the spare room if he doesn't like their temperature. So obviously not everybody is that impressive in terms of their COVID management, but we do want to talk about that at some point as well. Can you also give us an update on the vaccine? Cyril Ramaphosa last night referred to it. He said, in fact, it's influenced some of their decision making. Should it have?
Well, yeah, there's been lots of excitement over the Pfizer announcement this week where they've said basically there's a 90% cure of the virus. And I think we've got to understand a very, very important factor is that this is not a peer-reviewed decision yet. So it's a company that have put out the vaccine trials and it needs to still be peer-reviewed. It needs to still be reviewed by the FDA, the CDC, all different companies all over the world to say that it is a safe and effective vaccine. We are hoping it is. There are multiple vaccines that are in phase 3 trials that are nearing completion. And once they're near completion, they're going to start mass producing the vaccines. But I do think we've got to realize a very important thing. is we're still down the line in the feeding chain. So when the vaccine does come out, it will go to the Northern Hemisphere first. It will not come to South Africa until sometime after April, May next year.
And we really do want it before winter. Isn't that the big factor for us?
That's correct. And once it does come in, you're going to need millions of actual viable vaccines, because it will start off being given to obviously the vulnerable, the healthcare workers, and go down the line to people. But what he did say is that they do have facilities where they're going to start mass producing the vaccine once it's available in the country, which is a very positive step forward.
One of the constraints was the fact that I think it had to be transported and maintained at a really, really low temperature. Does that make it very difficult in terms of distribution?
No, not really, because I said once they've got the actual prototype, it can be produced in the country in the different laboratories all over.
And then one of our listeners yesterday said she was concerned that it's only 90% effective. My answer to that was, well, then just take two, because then you're 180% covered. Mathematically, that makes sense. Is that right?
Well, that's a good point. Is we don't know if it's going to be 100% effective. But they also are saying that you might have to take one vaccine, or you might have to take two vaccines,
see,
the second one a few weeks later in order to cover you. So we'll only know that at a later stage. Once again, that's the importance of peer-reviewed medication and vaccinations.
Yeah. You see, and they laughed at me yesterday. The same as I said,
I can understand that. So we generally always do.
Wow, imagine if I was sensitive. That is so rude. I just said, if one is 90% effective, then two are 180%. It's obvious. It's like drinking, if we need 70% protection from alcohol and whiskey has 42%, drink a double. You've got 84% protection. You're fine.
And that's why you don't run the MAC.
Yes, no, I've never been asked, funnily enough. Mark says, Howard, please can you ask Dr. Marburg the options for private individuals in South Africa obtaining a COVID vaccine as soon as available through a reputable company? Will we be able to how's that going to work, do you think?
Look, I mean, once it's mass produced, it will be on a rollout as it will basically be the same as the flu vaccine. So it will be available at pharmacies, but it's still going to take a long time. You know, it's still, as I say, they're still going to prioritize who gets it first.
And I think that is so important, because we shouldn't have the sense that we can drop our guard because in 15 or 20 minutes we're going to get the vaccine and then it's all going to go away. It's really not.
And even when we get the vaccine, we still need herd immunity. So it doesn't mean it's a magic bullet. As you get the vaccine, you're protected. We don't know how long it takes, and we need at least 60 to 70% of the population to get the vaccine in order to get herd immunity.
Right. Now, because we're a Jewish radio station, we obviously are, a few people have sent in some other consultation questions. David says, can you ask the doctor, doctor to speak about malaria and whether to take meds or not if we're going to the Kruger Park in December? I mean, I know this is not necessarily your field, but your thoughts?
Yeah. So remember, malaria is a major killer. It kills people all over the world. And you just need to see one person who gets affected by malaria, who goes into kidney failure, who gets the brain affectation, who gets the hematological affectations, and see what a terrible death it is from malaria. So yes, you should take anti-malarials. You need to speak to your doctor. You need to speak to your pediatrician to decide if your children need to take the anti-malarials and what stage they're at. But in those dry summer seasons, you definitely need to be covered from malaria.
So that, yeah, they're talking about the wet December, wet and hot, I would imagine that.
You definitely should. You definitely should be covered.
Yes. Kathleen wanting to know, has there been any discussion around if the vaccine for COVID will be safe for pregnant women?
The aim is the same as the influenza vaccine, which is safe for pregnancy and for young children. The aim is to make sure that it's safe for everybody across the board,
but
including immune compromised, including pregnant people, including young people, elderly people.
Maybe I read this wrong, but did I not read that they haven't yet tested it on the elderly in the communities?
Well, that's the whole problem is that it's being tested on a population that has to fulfill certain criteria. And as it fulfills a safety criteria, then it gets tested on the elderly and different.
Oh, I see. It moves through the different. Right. It moves through the different.
If you look at the AstraZeneca trial, the Chadox trial, that's being tested on healthy individuals and people who are immune compromised with HIV at the moment.
Right. Very, very interesting indeed. Just a reminder that it is a pneumonia day, and that is why Dr. Marburg is here. He thinks, that's why, at least why he thinks he's on the air. It is 7:27. That means we're not going to be getting a COVID report because we've spoken to you. What are the numbers looking like?
The numbers are obviously dramatically raised. The world numbers are 52,440,798 cases with 1.2 million deaths and 36 million cases resolved. United States staggering 10.7 million with 247,000 deaths. And South Africa are sitting on 742,394 cases with 20,011 deaths.
In fact, before I let you go, Rena has asked an interesting question. I started talking about this yesterday on the show because I was interested in people's thoughts. She says, please can you ask the doctor what happens if somebody doesn't want the vaccine? There's a lot of talk around the world about making it compulsory. What is your thoughts on that?
Look, you're going to get all over the world. You get your anti-vaxxers, people against medication. You cannot force people to have vaccines, although you do want them to have it. It's the same as any immunization, the same as immunizing your children when they're born against things like polio, measles, hepatitis. Mm-hmm. It is advisable, but people are obviously worried, you know, with a new vaccine to see what the side effects are going to be. But remember, we need herd immunity. We need to protect the whole country. We need to protect the whole community. So it is advisable once it's been peer reviewed to get the vaccine.
He is so politically correct. I say hold them down and give them one in each arm. Hold them down, one in the left, one in the right, and then we're done. Dr. Marburg, thank you as always.